Welcome to Superhero Century, the podcast where we watch and discuss every superhero movie since the year 2000. I am Dan.
I'm Kat.
I'm Matt.
I don't like this, okay? I am a creature of habit. When things don't stay the way they're supposed to in my mind, I get stressed. I have panic attacks. It's not fun. I'm Tom, everybody.
And that's Tom.
We're all here. I can already tell this is going to be a loopy episode.
We're not doing well.
I would like to come out and say I have not been drinking.
I have.
Anyway, this is Superhero Century, a way to look back and celebrate the superhero movies of the 21st century. We rewatch the movie, we give our basic thoughts, and then we've got some fun questions and categories to help us break down the movie. And what is the movie this week? This is episode 30, Superhero Movie.
What a way to celebrate a milestone.
It's all led to this.
I'm just surprised we made it to 30, so whatever it is that we watched, good on us.
That's actually what I said on my recent birthday. Can't believe I made it to 30.
Incredible.
Superhero movie. It is a parody movie of all the superhero movies we've already watched for this podcast, which is fitting.
They made a bunch of these parody movies after the success of the Scary Movie franchise, and then they dipped into Date Movie and Epic Movie and Meet the Spartans.
So did this come after Meet the Spartans?
This was like 2 months later.
Wow.
Meet the Spartans, I did see. I did not see Superhero Movie. So apparently that was the straw that broke the camel's back for me.
Oh, no.
Well, fun fact about the movie before that, you mentioned Epic Movie. Kat and I, in our early days of dating, went into that movie late and for some reason decided to stay.
Yeah, but let's break that down for a second, because it was early in this relationship and Matt was like, you know what would be a great idea? I'm going to take my new girlfriend to see Epic Movie. And this relationship has lasted somehow. I don't know how.
Did he treat you to California Pizza Kitchen? Because that could be it.
I don't recall, but judging by the fact that we were late, I would like to think that we were not late by a late arrival time, but rather a late check delivered to the table at the California Pizza Kitchen.
I think that's 100% correct.
We have already derailed. Dan, right. You should probably all right. Get us back on track.
So, Superhero Movie came out in 2008. Kat, can you give us a 15-second recap of this movie?
Okay, Drake Bell played some kind of a nerd who, I don't know, he goes on a field trip and he gets bit by a dragonfly and he gets some kind of liquid on him that attracts animals, and there's all these animals that start humping him, and then he gets bit by a dragonfly and things go horribly wrong and horribly offensive, and it turns into some kind of like Spider-Man parody, and then he dies in the end. And that's honestly all I can really tell you about this movie.
I think that was the booze talking.
No, I know I missed a lot in the middle, but like, point is, this movie was absolutely terrible.
You didn't miss a lot in the middle. He didn't die at the end. I don't know where you just came up with that.
I'm also very confused.
Yeah, you just said he died at the end. He doesn't die at the end.
He does run into a helicopter, yeah. But it's played for laughs. I don't think he actually died.
No,
yeah,
I don't think he died.
He gets hit by a helicopter
either.
In the end.
No.
I like that you said that it turns into a Spider-Man parody when that's like clearly what they're going for from the beginning.
Yeah, but I feel like it really hits right when he gets hit, right when he gets bit by the dragonfly. I don't know.
I would say you mainly need to see the Raimi films and the X-Men films to enjoy this enough.
Not even. This is an exact ripoff of the first Spider-Man. There are other references, obviously, but for the most part, it's just like trying to recreate scenes from Spider-Man from 2002.
So like I said, this is a Spider-Man parody and he dies in the end and there's nothing good that happens. It's terrible.
He doesn't die.
All right. Well, before we get into it, just some basic facts about the movie. Written and directed by Craig Mazin. I don't know how to pronounce
it
exactly. He also wrote Scary Movie 3 and 4. Which makes sense.
That tracks.
Yeah.
He also directed another superhero movie that we somehow missed and we probably should have done on the podcast from 2000, The Specials.
What is that?
James Gunn wrote it and Craig Mazin directed it. And it has a pretty good cast.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, we've talked about this one before.
So why haven't we watched it?
Maybe someday we'll go back to it.
I think we just overlooked it when we first started.
We were young.
To get you excited, it stars Rob Lowe. Okay. And Jamie Kennedy. What more could you need to know?
Okay, great. Let me buy that cameo again.
Yeah.
Craig Mazin also was the creator of the hit HBO miniseries Chernobyl, so apparently he's got some chops.
Yeah, very different than this movie.
Yeah, 1,000%.
He's also doing The Last of Us TV show.
Yeah.
He also was the freshman year roommate of Ted Cruz at Princeton.
Well, that would explain in this movie why there was a weird Tom Cruise bit.
Ted Cruz. Nope.
You say nope. Ted Cruz?
Yes.
Wow. Those people? Very different.
All right. And everyone, that was Superhero Century.
That was definitely the white Russian listening.
Tom, you mentioned those other parody movies. I always kind of lump this movie in with all the other ones. There is a bit of a split. So this one was produced by David Zucker, who famously wrote and directed Airplane, The Naked Gun, and those movies. He produced this one. He also produced Scary Movie 3 and 4. And there's a separate team that did a lot of the other ones. Jason Friedberg and Aaron Seltzer produced the first two Scary Movies, and then Date Movie, Epic Movie, Meet the Spartans, The Starving Games.
So the terrible ones is the what terrible you're saying.
Ones. So I'm not saying there's quality here, but I will say I think the David Zucker produced ones are a little bit better. I do have a soft spot for Scary Movie 3.
Yeah, I mean, this is what I was going to get into with my like reactions and stuff. But I watched Scary Movie 3 a lot throughout my teen years, and I actually rewatched it last year. And like the nostalgia is there. Some of it is still kind of funny in the same way that a lot of the jokes in Airplane land. You know, it's just like it's stupid humor, but for some reason it works. And some of the stuff in this actually, I don't know, some of it actually worked surprisingly well.
It debuted March 28th, 2008, with a budget of $35 million. It made only $25 million domestic, $71 million worldwide, good for 110th place in 2008, just behind Space Chimps.
You guys laugh like you're familiar. That's why I'm laughing.
I've never heard of it.
I have, and I forgot it existed until Dan said those words
it
right
is
now.
An animated movie about space chimpanzees, and then also The Love Guru.
Oh no.
To clarify, it's not chimpanzees from space. It's chimpanzees that go into space.
Right.
That's one of those is much
like
scarier
Bud,
than the other.
But chimps in space.
Exactly. Or space buddies, if
space
you will.
Space buddies,
I
yes.
understand.
All right, so I asked each of you to rate this movie on a scale of 1 to 10. You texted me your ratings. All right, we've watched 30 movies on this podcast. Do you think this one is in the top half if we average out our ratings? Matt's
absolutely
saying yes.
Absolutely not.
I'm going to go ahead and say it's in 15th place.
Oh, wow.
That's
good
what I'm
God.
Say.
What did you give this?
I think that this is somewhere in like 23-ish.
I'm going 15.
I'm in pain.
Tom, you're exactly right. 23rd place superhero Ooh. Movie with an average score of 2.8. Matt, you were on the high end. You gave this a 4 out of 10. You were the highest of anybody.
What did you give it?
I gave it a 3 out of 10.
Oh.
Tom, also 3. Cat, a 1 out of 10.
Are you guys okay?
I think that we are considerably more okay than you are right now based on the look of horror on your face.
So 23rd place, that means it is better than Hulk, Elektra, Sharkboy and Lava Girl, Super Ex-Girlfriend, Catwoman, Son of the Mask, and Zoom.
I stand by all of what you just said.
I agree.
And just a quick check, now that 30 films, The Incredibles, still holding on to number one.
Well, hell
and
yeah.
And probably will be forever.
Yeah.
Honestly, as I'm sitting at this table with a glass of wine in my hand looking you all in the eye, tell me how this is better than Sharkboy and Lava Girl.
Oh, again, that was made for babies.
Yeah, but like, give me that baby film. I've never quoted anything more in my life.
I'm going to quote superhero movie all the time now.
I'm dead inside.
Like I said, I keep pushing us towards personal reactions, so I'm just going to
keep let's
going
get into personal reactions then. Had any of us seen this movie before?
No.
Absolutely okay. not.
All right. Well, so what was your reaction watching this movie today, and why didn't you watch it when it came out? Because we kind of were the target audience.
Well, like I mentioned, the last thing I had that was remotely close to this was the Epic movie, which was a nightmare. So I thought to myself, yeah, I don't think this company can make parodies anymore, and I gave up on it.
Getting into the actual movie, I don't think it's a disaster. I think it actually accomplishes exactly what it wants to do. It's geared towards 12-year-old boys, 13-year-old boys maybe, and the jokes would probably land for a 12-year-old. There are jokes that land for us as 30-year-olds,
yeah.
and then we can grimace at the rest of it. But a 12-year-old in 2008 probably would have loved this movie.
I think it also, like, to its credit, is a shockingly good parody of Raimi's original Spider-Man.
Again, that's why I hear I'm the only person at the table that gave it 4 out of 10.
I don't know if it's a good parody. It's a good copy. It's a good, like, reference to it. I don't think it's actually parodying or saying anything, like, funny about the style of Raimi. I think it's literally just trying to mimic it.
It is making fun of it. I mean, you can't escape that.
It's making fun of it by winking a little bit, but I would argue Raimi's even making fun of himself when he does that movie a little bit too. I think this movie has a lot of good references. I don't think it has a lot of good commentary or jokes about the genre.
Okay, you're making me like think about this again. And
there was not a single time throughout this entire movie that I laughed out loud.
It hit all the right beats of making fun of Spider-Man to me. I mean, it's essentially like, it is a spoof. I'll say that. I'm not going to say that it's not a spoof. It is, because they basically follow a lot of the beats of the Raimi Spider-Man, and I think they do a good job of it. The best proof of that is the opening sequence where they make fun of, like, the credits with, like, on his suit. Like, that was pretty well done. And, like, yes, it copies it, like you said, but it does make fun of that. So it is parodying it.
You guys are just making me rethink what the actual definition of a parody is, and it's really messing with me.
Tom hadn't signed up please to don't think that much.
Please don't think too hard. Thinking about it, too, it's like, I really actually like parodies and spoofs in general. I don't love these movies. I think these movies, like Scary Movie and all of those, they have some fun jokes, but they're not really parodying or spoofing the genre. They're just trying to, hey, remember this part in this movie? It's just kind of like that. Remember this thing? Like, my favorite comedies, I would say, are all within the parody spoof genre. I'm thinking like
Hot Fuzz,
Young Frankenstein, even like Spinal Tap, I love, which is kind of like a parody, Walk Hard. And these quote unquote spoof movies that came out within like a 5-year span, they're not actually saying anything about the genre they're spoofing. They're literally just getting the same costumes and recreating scenes that you might remember from those movies.
Well, you can tell the difference between a slapdash one and one that where they actually thought about it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's obvious. Like, a lot of these are cash grabs. I mean, honestly, any of the Scary Movies after the first one are straight cash grabs.
I do have to say, I actually kind of agree with Dan here, and it hurts me because he's an asshole.
Oh, but come on. No, nobody's shocked.
No, for real, though. I do kind of agree with Dan, though, that like something like Hot Fuzz is such a brilliant parody of a genre that Edgar Wright clearly loves. And here, I mean, they're taking the same jokes they use over and over again and putting it into this setting. So I guess you kind of have turned it around for me here. But I will say they did a good job mimicking in that case, because some of the stuff is like pretty spot on.
Yeah, the mimic is actually really good. Like, the music in this is like a really good Danny Elfman impression. There's a few moments where I'm like, huh, that could have been taken right out of Spider-Man. I have no idea.
The fact that you guys are defending this in any way, shape, or form is blowing my mind right now.
Well, they're defending it, but they gave it a low score. Like, I feel like a monster for giving it a 4 out of 10, but like, they're really selling it over here.
I'll defend this movie because of Leslie Nielsen. He is one of my favorite people of all time. Maybe like probably top 2 comedy actors for me. Like maybe him and Peter Sellers, and that might be it.
He's pretty hilarious.
And anytime he's on screen, even when he's dealing with really bad material, he's just so good.
He is particularly good at selling stuff that is clearly not funny. And, you know, it's the same stuff that worked back in Airplane. It's the same stuff that worked in his lesser movies like this.
We also got Christopher McDonald.
Shooter McGavin, for all you folks out there that don't know.
Did we just stumble into casting?
No, we'll get to casting in a little bit. I'm just saying there are some actors in this cast that actually know how to make comedy out of nothing, basically. And there are at least, I would say, 5 or 6 times where I actually laughed at this movie.
Yeah, there was some hearty laughter at times.
I'm so happy for all of you.
Hey, don't be upset. You had wine.
The other thing to say about this versus something like Epic Movie or Date Movie is that this one is a much more like unified story.
Well, yeah, they just followed Spider-Man.
Right, but like with their other spoof movies, like taking every little bit they can and throwing it at the wall.
Yeah, and like Epic Movie feels like a bunch of skits. This movie feels like a full movie, although the X-Men scenes, that does feel like a little skit, like a little interlude in the middle.
It's part of that.
But it's funny in the context of like where we're at in the superhero genre, because it feels like we've barely even started. Like we've barely even hit like the tip of the iceberg. Like so many superhero films haven't even begun yet. Like when you think of superhero movies today, you think of the MCU, right? Like at least I feel like most people do, because that's like the most successful, like most like highest grossing superhero movies today. That hadn't even, I mean, yes, it was about to start, but like it hadn't even begun yet. So it's just interesting to think that this parody came out before like the superhero genre was even like a big deal yet.
Well, I mean, it is, it's like convenient or something that it's literally the last movie before we get to Iron Man, which like really changes the game. But I think by this point, we at least can acknowledge that superhero movies are, they're a big enough deal where they're starting to be their this standalone genre, right?
It's becoming a thing, yeah.
Well, I mean, by the time Spider-Man 3 rolls around, yeah, it's in pretty much in full swing, and then the MCU comes along and like kind of changes the game. But like, I think at this point, it's pretty well established.
That's a good segue, and this is a question I have for you. Perhaps it's a hot take. I'm not really sure. This movie came out in 2008. It's spoofing a bunch of superhero movies. Do you think there could be a spoof of superhero movies today? Is the genre open for parody? And my initial leaning is that you can't spoof superhero movies because they are already kind of winking at the camera. There are so many meta jokes within the superhero genre. I feel like with the best spoof movies, they're usually spoofing a genre that takes itself very seriously. Like we talked about, like Walk Hard is spoofing like the very serious music biopic, or even something like Blazing Saddles spoofing just like these classic westerns. But the superhero genre is so kind of aware of itself that I feel like it's really hard to actually parody the genre and have a good movie.
I'm going to disagree with you guys. I think the problem is that the company that basically steamrolled through these, where they just were like, oh, what's out? What's hot right now? Let's make a parody of it. They killed that. Like, that's why there's not a Scary Movie 12 that we're on right now. They literally drained that well dry to the point where they were like, we're making Meet the Spartans. And like, I can't even think of the last parody movie they did, but they like killed themselves. Like, that's why that studio doesn't keep doing this.
Well, I get why they don't make it from that perspective. I just think like, if you're going to make a superhero parody film today, you can't make it like this cheap version that they made superhero movie. You need to do something like Deadpool, where it's making fun of the genre, but it also is like a movie in itself.
So that's why I actually agree. I don't think that you really can do it. I mean, something like Deadpool or like the MCU, it is, like you said, it kind of winking at the camera. It's making fun of itself at this, you know, at the same time as like doing these things that it's making fun of. But then you have like, you know, we want to talk about the DCEU. We want to talk about like the super, super serious Zack Snyder bullshit. And then you have something like Shazam that comes along, and Shazam is one of the best things in the DCEU because it's making fun of all the shit that came before it, like, and came after it, frankly. But I don't think that you could have an external parody in the way that there was at this time.
I mean, you could even argue like Thor Ragnarok is a parody of the first two Thor movies.
Absolutely. And that's why, like, again, the MCU is so good at making that. Even Spider-Man ends up being something of a parody of like of Iron Man, you know, like it's self-referential, but not without, you know, some tongue in cheek.
I'm not going to agree with you guys 100%. I think for me, it boils down to, I mean, it's not like it's sacred by any means. And just because they make fun of themselves doesn't mean they're safe. I think it's just more maybe, and I'd like to think this, the audiences are a little bit more like, we won't take a cheap spoof anymore because it's been done to death. Like, it would have to be really thoughtful. And I don't think anyone wants to put the time and effort into doing that.
I'm just saying the spoofs that we get today aren't going to be these full-on comedies. They're going to be superhero movies in the flesh, but that also have some comedy. I'm thinking like the last Suicide Squad, the James Gunn Suicide Squad, that's pretty much a parody of superhero movies, but it's also a very serious movie and has things to say. I just don't think we will ever get a full-on 100% comedy spoof.
Not while we're in the current swing of things.
No. Yeah.
I don't know. And like, I don't know what it is, but there's just something about it that's untouchable from like an external perspective.
I hope I'm wrong. I hope there is like a Young Frankenstein level movie within us that we just don't know about yet and we'll get in a couple of years. Who knows?
I'm here for it.
All right, let's get into trivia. Things we found out about the movie. I don't have a lot. There's not a lot about this movie on the internet, so we can go through this quick. David Zucker, the producer, was originally going to direct the movie and was just going to call it Super with an exclamation point, just like Airplane.
Was it Super or was it Superhero?
I don't remember.
I think it was Superhero.
Okay, Superhero.
Superhero.
With the exclamation, though. You were correct on that. Mm.
And the only other piece of trivia I have is the actor Michael Papajohn.
Who?
We've talked about it before.
You don't remember Papajohn?
The Papajohn.
He played the mugger in Spider-Man who kills Uncle Ben.
Oh, no.
Although retconned not in Spider-Man 3. But he also played the mugger in this movie who kills Uncle Albert.
Good for them.
The only other pieces of trivia I found were that Jeffrey Tambor filmed his role while on a two-day break from Hellboy 2. So he left one of the movies that we're going to review to film this. So good for him, I guess. And then the other, and this one I liked more, this piece, was that they skipped the screening for critics, which is just a super promising sign.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
I watched two featurettes on YouTube about this movie and didn't learn anything.
There's not that much to learn.
Should we move on to casting decisions?
I guess so.
That's probably safe.
So I don't have anything for casting other than Rip Torn was originally going to be in this movie as the newspaper editor.
Torn elevates everything he's in to at least another star. Like, if he would have been in this, I would have given it at least a 3 out of 10.
Wow. So, not a lot for casting. Matt, can you save us with a Christopher Walken bit in this movie?
I feel like Christopher Walken, you could tell me if I'm wrong. Well, you're going to tell me I'm wrong. I already know it. I feel like he could have been the Uncle Ben character.
No, you're wrong.
Yeah, I know,
wrong.
I know, because it is Leslie Nielsen's role. So beyond that, I mean, I guess the doctor, but like, no, I can't say that either.
To me, the obvious choice here would be to take away work from the excellent Keith David as the like chief of police, but that seems like a Walken role to me.
There's a lot of roles here that like they're just great character actors, and it doesn't feel right to take it away because it's not a very big role. Like, I mean, Christopher Walken, like, I mean, yeah, he'll say yes to a lot of projects that he shouldn't, but like, I like a lot of these character actors enough that it's hard to take away. I guess on some level, maybe we replace Christopher McDonald because to me, he's just Shooter McGavin, and I don't really care if he works again because that's enough for him. So like, if Christopher Walken was the bad guy, I think that would actually be better because he is sort of like an Osborne type character. I mean, there was a couple of scenes where Christopher McDonald looks fat. Like in his like costume. I don't mean to hate on the guy, but a couple of times I was like,
what do you mean you don't mean to hate on him? That's the most like hateful thing you can say.
Well, just like,
you want to take away work from this guy because he did one role that you know him from and give it to a man who's done hundreds and hundreds of movies and just dog shit movies.
I mean, at the end of the day, if you ask me between Christopher McDonald and Christopher Walken, I'm walking on sunshine.
Yeah, but you gave such shitty reasons for it.
I don't need a good reason.
Because he looked fat in his fucking costume?
Nobody. Okay, I'm sorry. You mean to tell me you would rather not have Academy Award winning Christopher Walken in your shitty movie, or would you rather have Christopher McDonald?
I actually don't know that I would make that swap.
What about Christopher Walken as Stephen Hawking?
No.
No. Okay. No, Dan. Which, Robert Joy is Dr. Hawking. I wonder if Stephen Hawking ever did see this film.
I fucking hope not.
I hope not.
We're going to talk about that. Don't worry.
We'll get to that.
All right, let's move on to your favorite scene of the movie.
Wow.
This was hard, actually, to find nominees, because this movie doesn't have scenes, it just has references, and then...
Oh, it has bits.
It has bits. I wouldn't call them scenes.
What's the first one you're going to pitch up to us?
The opening credits are a pretty good parody of the Spider-Man opening credits, including the little flashlight joke, which is pretty funny.
That was the moment, like, you know, we're sitting through these credits, and that flashlight... So, you know, it's doing the thing where he's getting dressed and, you know, all in dark, and you kind of see bits highlighted, and then it shows him holding a flashlight across his chest, you know, and the three boys here, we all laughed out loud at that, I think, because like, that's a solid bit, and we didn't know what to expect, you know, especially coming to this movie thinking it was going to be a lot worse than it was. Kat's looking at me like she's ready to die.
You said the three boys and she just wanted a full stare.
The minute the three boys came out of your mouth, I went, continue.
Yeah, well, I don't think you laughed at that part.
No, I don't think I laughed.
Exactly. So I was right.
No, you were right.
He was right.
Valid.
Next nominee is the field trip to the science lab.
So the animal humping scene.
There's also that great bit when he sets the bird on fire with the flash.
That great bit, Dan said.
That was also kind of funny.
There was a lot of...
You guys are the worst.
Next nominee is when Rick tells Uncle Albert about his powers, and Uncle Albert shoots him with the nail gun. Kevin Hart's in this movie too. We should mention that. That's kind of weird.
Yes.
Similar to his bit parts in the Scary Movie films, like just like before he was a real star.
Next nominee is the whole X-Men skit where he goes to the X-Mansion. Tracy Morgan is Charles Xavier. We've got a Wolverine cameo in there, a Storm cameo, all of that. Regina Hall is in there.
Yep. Also have Pamela Anderson as the Invisible Woman from the Fantastic Four.
Because why not?
Honestly, the whole X-Men Mansion part could have been dropped. Like, I think that was like a maybe total of like 8 minutes, if that. It felt like such a shoehorned part.
It may be my vote for best scene.
You like the whole
just the stupidity of him like switching what he's riding. Like, he goes from riding in the electric wheelchair to a Segway to stopping in the bathroom and riding out on a toilet. It's just like, just the audacity to be that fucking dumb. I at that point, I don't know if I just hit a certain delirium, but I enjoyed that scene.
I'm happy for you.
As I've thought back on it, yes.
It's my least favorite scene in the movie in terms of story structure, but I do get laughs out of it. I've been rewatching 30 Rock recently, and Tracy Morgan is just, he's so good. Next, we have the Thanksgiving scene, straight out of Spider-Man, but when he's on the ceiling and he has to pee. Oh, and instead of blood falling from the ceiling and Green Goblin noticing, it is a little bit of pee. And
not just a little.
No, it's not.
And the other villain noticing.
I think at a certain point, I gave up and started to enjoy it even more. So, sure.
So, you have to submit to the movie.
Great. Good to know. I wish I would have been warned in advance because I did not submit to the movie.
Next nominee is Farting Aunt Lucille.
Nope. You're really selling it here, aren't you?
That, to me, that whole sequence was very much like this whole like company and their spoof movies. Like that is like the epitome of like how they were just beating a dead horse. We're like, farts are funny.
It's that's kind of where I draw my line, is like all the poop and fart stuff is just like, it's not.
Keep in mind though, this movie was made for 12-year-old boys, and that farting scene I'm sure was a hit.
I'm trying to think if movie farts were still funny to me at 13. Real farts, absolutely.
Can you
they're
name,
still funny now.
Can all of you together, because I can't think of one. Can you think of like three movie fart scenes that made you laugh?
I mean, Blazing Saddles.
Yes, that is the fart sequence.
It might be the only one I can think of.
Speaking of farts, and I hate to bring this back to like the casting category, but the person doing the farting in this scene is Marion Ross, who's the mom from Happy Days, which it's delightful to see her have work. But I feel like in other parody movies, this is usually the Corus Leachman role, and I feel bad that nobody called her. I hope she was okay.
I like to think she read the script and turned it down.
Yeah.
She probably just had a scheduling conflict, honestly.
She was probably filming Beer Fest at the same time.
She always sleeps better with a little sausage in her.
That's right.
And final nominee, the Humanitarian Awards at the very end of the movie, where Hourglass wins Douchebag of the Year. There is a Nelson Mandela Desmond Tutu joke that was kind of like way too smart for this movie, but... just the final ending sequence there.
That felt very Naked Gun-esque. That, just the way that was set up was classic.
All right, so what's your best scene?
So, the only scene that was okay was the opening credits. It was, like, relatively a little bit funny and clever, and it never got any better.
I already mentioned that I did like the X-Men mansion scene. I think that's my winner, but the pee scene is close.
I'm going to go with the pee sequence.
I'm going to go with anytime Leslie Nielsen's on screen.
That's a cop-out.
That's a cop-out. Pick one scene.
All right, well, then the one where he shoots him with the nail gun.
Okay.
Also good.
Yeah.
You heard it here first. It's a four-way tie.
So let's move on to Villain Corner. What do we think about our villain, Hourglass?
I mean, it's a spoof, and so his plan is supposed to be funny. However, he finds a way to make himself live longer, and I'm sure he could have done it in a simpler way, but the plot just gave him his opportunity. I don't think he planned it so much as that he just followed the beats of the spoof he was put in. But at the same time...
Do you not know how, like, characters in a script work?
Well, but this is a spoof, so, like, you can't take any of it seriously. They literally break the fourth wall.
Yeah, but, like...
So I can't take them seriously.
His villain plan was better than some of the other ones we've had.
Oh, no. Well, I wanted you to know I was ending that whole spiel with that. I mean, yeah, the plan was fine.
Okay. I guess I just wasn't sure what you were trying to say.
No, yeah, that's fair. You were mad that I broke the fourth wall a little bit on there on how the characters look at the movie, but... Yes. No, I do think it was a solid plan considering the silliness of the film.
I actually think they devote a lot of time to it. Like he has like four or five scenes like for his character. It's not even like funny scenes necessarily. It's all about his quest for immortality. And it's like they spend way more time on this villain than like Elektra spent on their villains or My Super Ex-Girlfriend or any of those random movies we've watched that are not really serious, but kind of a little bit more serious than this. Yeah. He's fine.
Yeah, it's a solid plan.
Yeah, it's literally life or death for him, so he has the motive there.
And this is one of the few times I think we've seen a movie where the villain isn't, like, crazy. He's legitimately like, I just want to live forever. He doesn't go mad, necessarily.
He's a little crazy. He's stuffing that dead woman into the closet.
Well, that's for a joke.
Well, I guess.
Let's move on, then, to Capes and Tights. Rate the superhero costumes of the movie.
You know, as much as it's a parody... If there was a hero called the Dragonfly, it's not a bad costume.
The design is solid. The only thing they fucked up was like the mask, because it does not like Spider-Man's mask fits him nicely. This one looks like it has like a weird shape, doesn't actually fit his face, and I don't know. But
his antennas are really tiny.
I do think Shooter McGavin's supervillain outfit in this was a very, like, Butters alter ego. Like, that supervillain. I feel like they took a lot. Was it Dr. Chaos or something like that?
Professor Chaos.
Professor Chaos. It looks a lot like that. And it's funny. I wonder if they ever had those mutual ideas.
Speaking of other costumes, I think the Human Torch in this looks better than the Human Torch in Fantastic Four.
Not flamed on, of course.
Not flamed on, but the actual costume itself.
Well, I mean, it's nice that it didn't have sponsorship all over it.
Right.
Yeah.
Next question is, which side character deserve their own spinoff?
I'm going to say something that Dan would have no choice but to agree with me on, because I like when he agrees with me. I'm going to say Uncle Albert's role, just because more Leslie Nielsen.
Disagree with him, Dan.
I would 100% agree.
Thank you.
I was going to say the monkey that's dancing when Uncle Albert dies.
No, it goes into a coma.
Sure.
You again killing people.
I also was going to say Leslie Nielsen.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is sad he died 2 years after this movie.
I'm sure it had that's nothing to wild. Do with this film.
I hope not.
It was from them kneeling on his balls all the time.
What a bit.
All right. Moving on then to the producer's chair. If you can go back and change one thing about the movie, what would it be?
Don't make it.
You heard it here first. Kat says, don't make it.
So I actually have an answer for this. So they're spoofing movies, but they're pretty much like 95% spoofing Spider-Man. We kind of talked about it already. Sam Raimi's Spider-Man is totally tongue-in-cheek. It's funny on its own. It's cheesy. It's a weird movie to spoof because it's already kind of spoofing itself. And even in 2002, I think Raimi kind of knew that. I think a spoof movie works so much better when you're riffing on something that's taken super seriously. So why not make this movie Batman focused? Batman Begins came out a couple years before this. I think Batman is a lot more ripe for parody. And we've seen that already. I'm thinking of like the Pete Holmes College Humor skits. Like,
¿dónde están las drogas?
Yes. Exactly. Like, those are so much funnier than anything in this movie. You could just make a movie out of that. Batman is just a funnier character to spoof because he takes it so seriously. Then you're riffing on it. You're making better jokes. Even like the Lego Batman movie, which is probably the closest we've gotten to a superhero spoof of the last 5 or 10 years. That is so much funnier than this because Batman is such a serious character.
I will take what you said, Dan, and alter it just slightly. Instead of, you know, you're just choosing Batman, I don't think anything's wrong necessarily with this other than kind of like how Tom brought up earlier. I don't want there to be so many skits like we needed to throw in the X-Men. Like, I wish they would just commit to it's just Spider-Man and really like Blazing Saddles it. Like, just really stick to like one thing. Or like, sorry, that's not a good example. Young Frankenstein would be a better example. It was like, it's only the Frankenstein story. And then no other skits to take, you know, time away from really good jokes that they could build around just Spider-Man. Not saying that they couldn't do a Batman one, but I just want it to be less skit-based. Because then it's like they're having their cake and eat it too when they throw in everyone else.
I think that for me, it's just like, you know, something like this, I see some of the stuff that works. And then I also see the stuff that really doesn't. And there's just like the like fart jokes don't land for me. And so I like age this up like two years older, like an audience that's 15, and you get rid of some of that like super juvenile, and then you can still get, you know, stupid shit like him peeing. However, nail gun in Kevin Hart's hand, totally valid.
So I know you're anti sort of like the potty humor, if you will. Would you have cut the animal humping scene?
I wouldn't have gone all in like they did. I would maybe get like one moment there, but like then cut away. Like, we don't need that anymore.
As silly as it is, like, I think there's parts where it's like, that's just ridiculous. But then when they just focus for some reason on like a snail, that's the most random yeah. of animals they could have picked.
The humping snail with subtitles was, again, that's more like an audacity thing, though.
I love
like
it.
You gotta admire the
commitment.
Commitment to the stupid ass bit.
I hate you guys so much right now.
Well, let's move on then to Dan's Sports Corner.
Dan's Sports Corner brought to you by the eye juice and eye pick, the only eye products never actually made.
Not a ton of sports. At one point, they ask how Aunt Lucille's doing, and they say, oh, she's home under heavy sedation. They made her watch 3 hours of women's basketball. Ha ha ha, what a funny joke. it's a cheap joke. Women's basketball is entertaining. I would argue men's basketball can be pretty boring sometimes too. So, yeah.
Wow.
Equality.
Dan chose to go that route as opposed to the obvious choice of the whole bit for some reason where they decided to make fun of Barry Bonds taking steroids.
Yeah, the Barry Bonds taking steroids, that's an easy joke in 2008. From a 2021 lens, it's a little bit more complicated. I think Barry Bonds is a complex figure in sports. He got all the heat for the steroids, and rightly so. He took a lot of steroids, broke a lot of records, but everyone took steroids.
Well, did he ever get in trouble, Dan? I know it's a silly thing. He did.
Yeah.
But did they take away any of his titles or anything?
The way that Dan said that was like, took a lot of heat.
But I'm glad we did it.
He took a lot of heat. But you know what? You know who else took steroids? Every single person in the MLB at that time. I think he's unfairly maligned. I'm not saying I like the guy, but it's a cheap joke in this movie. It's whatever.
I think my biggest issue with that joke is that it just, like, I don't know. It's one of those things where, you know, when you're writing these jokes, you try not to, like, immediately date yourself and, like, make your movie, like, specific to, you know, that time. And they had another one where it's, like, they talked about the top five and whatever the hell those stupid phones were.
A flip phone type thing.
It's one of the...
Oh, it was the Sidekick or something.
Yeah, I don't know. One of those ones that only the cool kids could have.
Women's basketball, Barry Bonds, 2008.
Cheers.
That was Dan's Sports Corner, brought to you by Hooters and Microsoft, the software that you download when you want to make a death machine. Thanks, Clippy.
Moving on then to questions. What questions do you have from this movie?
Why did Dan make us watch this?
Hey.
No, I do understand. I get it.
You get how a chronology works?
Exactly. Hello to all our listeners. This is Dan. We apologize. Our audio cut out on the recording of this episode, and we were not able to salvage the file. So this is where the episode ends. Superhero movie. What a movie. We will be back next time, very excited to launch into the MCU with Iron Man from 2008. We'll get the whole crew back together. We'll do Iron Man. Can't wait. If you like the podcast, be sure to follow us on the podcast app of your choice. We are on social media, Facebook and Twitter. And we will see you next time. Thanks, folks.